The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior. Sun Warrior is a premium, all-natural, raw superfood company dedicated to providing the best vegan, plant-based protein powders and supplements. Go to sunwarrior.com to learn more about all of their products and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Enviromedica, makers of Terra Flora, a novel broad-spectrum symbiotic formulated with a combination of spore-form probiotics and advanced food-based ancient prebiotics. Wild Foods, small batch superfoods from around the world. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Wild Foods was founded out of an obsession with finding the best ingredients in the world to support health and longevity. Paleo Magazine, the well-being journal and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off all their products and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio. Baby, do you want to go higher? Baby, you're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Aviana Barrientos. I've got Alicia on the controls this morning, and I've got Mo Brossette in studio.
Hey, hey.
How's everybody doing?
Good.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm good. You know, I'm going to the hemp convention here after the show.
The hemp convention?
The hemp convention.
Where is it?
Which is really kind of crazy because Texas is not a legal state for marijuana.
Right.
And yet we're having the national hemp convention here in Dallas. So, you know, I think that's crazy, don't you?
I don't think it's the national. I think it's just the first annual Texas hemp convention.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Well, we are our own nation, so.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Okay, so the first annual Texas hemp convention.
There you go.
But it's not even legal here. Oh, hemp is, right? But not marijuana.
Yeah, hemp is, yes.
It's just so confusing for everybody. And I know some friends that are like in the you know, CBD oil business.
Right.
And it's just, they're making it so difficult. And the stuff really does help with so many things.
Absolutely. I mean, I have my mother, who is 77 years old, on a CBD oil or CBD sublingual drops. And she's had 3 knee replacement surgeries, and she says this is the best her knees have ever felt since she's had surgery.
Wow. See,
I heard a story the other day.
She used to be on turmeric, too. Is she on turmeric?
I do have her on turmeric, yes.
Yeah, because it's so good for you as well.
I heard a story of a friend's mom who went to the doctor and asked if she could start taking CBD oil, and the doctor was, like, super hesitant with her, like, well, you're...
Yeah. I'm going to lose sales if we do that.
Well, like, you have this genetic, like, recessive gene that if you take CBD, there could possibly be an adverse reaction.
Right.
Well, listen.
So she was scared.
The doctors, though, like, we can't fault them because that's what they have to do. Because if something does happen and they come back and said, well, my doctor said I could take this, there goes his practice. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I agree with that 100%. But especially, like, with the population that I usually deal with.
But they don't do that with pharmaceuticals.
No, they don't.
There's no liability with pharmaceuticals.
But they do have, like, if they're talking about the side effects of something, they have to explain that to them. They don't do it fully as they should, from what I've seen. But, you know, they have to cover the bases on those types of things.
Okay. Well, they scared her, and now she doesn't want to even.
Of course they did.
Yeah, look into it.
That makes me so mad. But so you know, I just had this pulled out. This is from What Doctors Don't Tell You, coincidentally.
Ooh. Well, how about that?
It's a magazine from the UK. What is her name? Lynn McTaggart is the founder of it, and her husband. And I'm sorry, I can't think of his name. But it's in here. That's so disrespectful. Let me find it. Hold on. Okay. Brian Hubbard is her husband's name.
Gotcha.
It says, in many of the suppressed studies, SSRIs performed worse than placebos. Okay, we're talking, you know, and that's just part of it. And then they talk about inflammation. It says, if depression isn't a chemical
If depression isn't a chemical imbalance, what is it? One theory gaining traction is that it has to do with inflammation. I'm thinking of the book, The Inflamed Mind, and all these other things that I read everywhere. And I do believe that.
Mm-hmm.
I do. And I've seen it firsthand from people in my family that have taken CBD oil or turmeric or just lost some weight or started eating better, and their mental health improves as well.
Absolutely. Once you mitigate inflammation through diet and through lifestyle, through sleep, then things start to even out a bit more because your body is inflamed. It's in this fight or flight state as it is.
Mm-hmm.
So then you couple that with things outside of it in life, and it's going to just make it worse.
Well, and here's a little more on the SSRIs. The SSRIs. And they're like, what are you talking about? That's an old song, isn't it?
Never heard of it.
It's the USSR.
Yeah, that's Billy Joel, right? Is that Billy Joel? Yeah.
No, I think it's the Beatles. Back in the USSR.
No, it's Billy Joel.
Is it Billy Joel?
I don't know.
I think you may be wrong, MoBroSat, but we'll do a challenge. We'll have somebody Google it. Anyway, that's what made me think of it. I have the worst sense of humor. I really do. But back before SSRIs, antidepressants were developed. Just 100 people per million. Listen to this. So just before they developed our SSRIs, mm-hmm. think about this, which are antidepressants. Before they were developed, just 100 people per million were diagnosed with depression. But this exploded to 100,000 people per million, 10% of the population, when the drugs were launched on the back of the chemical imbalance theory of depression. That's crazy, right? Okay, let me read on. It says, in 1965, Harvard psychiatrist Joseph Schildkraut put forward the theory that depression was caused by low levels of neurotransmitter. And 2 years later, other researchers singled out serotonin. And so it says, if a chemical is linked to depression, then the drug industry could produce another chemical to adjust the balance. And so research into SSRIs began, but neuroscientists were doing their research too, and they were unable to find evidence that supported the theory. Clinical researchers didn't fare any better. Studies of depressed people found that their serotonin levels were the same as in healthy controls. And even when serotonin levels were debilitated, I'm really butchering this.
You're good.
I had my teeth cleaned this morning, and everybody's thinking, what does that have to do with it? But I'm having like this weird thing with my lips. I don't know. I'm serious. Like, my lips aren't pronouncing words right. Anyway, okay, so let me go back. So even when serotonin levels were deliberately lowered, the participants didn't become depressed. Conversely, depressed people given very high doses of serotonin didn't see any improvement in their symptoms. Even the psychiatric profession quietly agrees it's Bible that the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders doesn't list serotonin as a cause of depression, while the American Psychiatric Press textbook of clinical psychiatry cites serotonin deficiency as an unconfirmed hypothesis.
Right. But we also know now about genetic expression, how you can turn genes on and off. So just because you might have the gene for depression or anxiety or whatever, your lifestyle, your diet, your stress levels, and your recovery can turn on or off those genes.
Well, and childhood trauma.
Yeah, childhood trauma.
They address, like, see, I told you I can't. They addressed it here.
But and that's the thing, man. Like, they're looking at one thing. They're looking at serotonin. Of course, you're not going to fix it with a silver bullet, right? You have to look at the entire holistic picture of this thing.
Yeah, holistically. And that's such a great point. It is. Because that's what we do here. We talk about holistic and alternative health. So it goes on with this inflammation. If depression isn't a chemical imbalance, what is it? One theory gaining traction is it has to be inflammation. We already talked about that. But researchers at the University of Notre Dame in Indiana tested the theory that when they assessed earlyhood childhood experiences and depression among 177 young offenders at a juvenile detention center in Russia, many were suffering from depression. And the researchers discovered a correlation between the severity of their condition and the extent of childhood trauma, such as punishment, hostility, parents, unjustified criticism, and lack of respect.
Absolutely. That's a subconscious programming, especially when you're a child.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't even realize it's happening.
Right.
We're like, I don't know why I'm depressed. Yep. I don't know why I'm sad all the time.
Well, you know, and that goes for schizophrenia, too. You can be predisposed to that. It's in my family genes.
Right.
But why did I not get it? And why did my brother Jerome, Jerry, get it? Well, Jerry was sexually molested as a child when he was an altar boy with the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
And so, and that caused like a split.
It holds, your body holds trauma.
Holds trauma.
And then it's going to.
And it happened repeatedly. He was an altar boy for many, many years. Okay. And it was a repeated thing.
Yeah.
And he had a nervous breakdown when he was 17. Mm-hmm. And he, in his life, immediately, you know, he's never had a driver's license. All these things that we all take for granted, and he has suffered tremendously.
Yeah,
been in one institution after the next. Now he's in a really great home where he gets great care in Houston. But so many people don't understand that those childhood traumas. They can you carry them with you for your life unless they're healed and talked about.
Yeah. One of the doctors that I'm working with now, Dr. Don Wood, who's a neuropsychologist, has a program called the Inspired Performance Institute. He goes back and helps clear traumas like that, childhood traumas, folks that have been exonerated from wrongfully incarcerated for murders and such.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's all about, is about clearing those subconscious traumas of things that happened to us. Like, it's, you know, your brother, right, might blame himself for being an altar boy.
Mm-hmm.
It's those little things they go back to, they don't think about, and it's that they don't understand it until they go back into it, because the brain sees it as if it's happening right now.
Yeah.
And until they can clear that and reprogram the way the brain sees that event, they're going to be stuck in that repetitive cycle.
Yeah, I know. It's such fascinating. Yeah. I'm so glad we're talking about it, because most people don't talk about mental illness to begin with because of the stigma around it, and we should. It's no different than a broken leg.
Exactly.
You know, stuff happens to all of us. So always great having Mo Brosset in studio. And we've got a great show coming up. We've got Dr. Jolene Brighton. She's going to be talking about Beyond the Pill, brain fog, fatigue, and mood. She's amazing. You're not going to want to miss it. And Mo Brosset, action over intention. I love that subject. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. Back in the USSR. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Aviana Barrientos, Mo Brosset, and Dr. Jolene Brighton. She is a functional naturopathic medical doctor and nutritional biochemist with a focus in women's endocrine health. She is recognized as a leading expert in post-birth control syndrome and the long-term side effects associated with hormonal contraceptives. Dr. Brighton is the author of Beyond the Pill, a 30-day plan to support women on birth control, help them transition off and eliminate symptoms of post-birth control syndrome. She is a speaker, women's health advocate, and a medical advisor for one of the first data-driven apps to offer women personalized birth control recommendations. Her website is drbrighton.com. Always a pleasure. How are you doing today, Dr. Brighton?
I am fantastic. How about yourself?
I'm great. I'm really doing great, I have to say.
Awesome.
I feel awesome. You know, when you go through your little ebbs and flows, you know, we all do. It's just part of life, but I'm feeling very good and I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for my health.
Yeah.
But I love having you on the show. I do, because so many women are walking around blindly when it comes to understanding their bodies, the effects of birth control and all these things, and how diet can absolutely change all of it. But so why do some women report increasing or new fatigue or brain fog if they've used hormonal birth control?
Well, you know, there can be a lot of factors involved when it comes to fatigue and brain fog. And so all of those should definitely be explored. And we should never hang our hat on, well, it's just birth control, because something else could be going on. But one way that birth control can be connected with increased fatigue and brain fog is that while you're on hormonal birth control, it increases binding proteins that grab onto your thyroid hormones and your cortisol. And these are two things that these two hormones we need for our brain to function optimally and for us to have ample energy. In addition, hormonal birth control can also lead to nutrient deficiencies in some women. So if it's depleting your B vitamins, for example,
mm-hmm.
we need those to create energy and to create neurotransmitters. So for some women, we will see these side effects.
Well, you know, I have to say, I think when I first got on birth control in my early 20s, that's at the same time I started having anxiety, you know, and panic attacks. And I always felt like there was some sort of connection between the two. Do you believe that there is?
Oh, yeah. So we've had actually studies coming out showing us there is a connection between hormonal birth control and onset of mood symptoms. At this point, we can't say causation. They're only correlated studies.
Right.
But we also have to recognize that, you know, up until 2016, we never had a very good study done to say definitively one way or another, you know, what is birth control's role in our mood symptoms? However, generations of women have been using birth control and complaining of the exact same symptoms that you're describing, mm-hmm. which tells us there is something going on there, even if the research hasn't been done to demonstrate that, yes, in fact, birth control is leading to anxiety in women. But we see anxiety, depression, and even increase in suicide risk for certain populations
wow.
when they begin hormonal birth control.
Well, and you gain weight, too. I mean, anytime I ever got on or off the pill, I always gained like 10 to 15 pounds, typically 10 pounds, 10 to 12 pounds. And that's very common, too, isn't it?
Well, the interesting thing is that when you look at the research, we don't see a correlation between hormonal birth control and weight gain. However, there are always outliers in the research. So while the research says, on average, women are not gaining weight because of birth control, when you get into the studies, you can see that there were participants who had, you know, significant weight gain. So this is where we stand back and we recognize that research cannot tell us everything about everyone. It can tell us, you know, averages about the population. But if you start birth control and you say to me, I gain 10 pounds, I get off, I lose 10 pounds, I gain 10 pounds if I get back on, well, that's what's true for you. And we need to investigate what is going on there.
Well, maybe it could be being on the pill made me depressed and I ate more. It could be something
well
like, right?
You know, with Depo-Provera shot in particular, that one we do understand is associated with weight gain. And it's in part because it increases your appetite. So it's not just that like, oh, you're on these hormones and you gain weight. It's mm-hmm. also how it affects your behavior. But, you know, we have to talk about the progestin. We don't have progesterone in contraceptives. It's all progestin. Natural progesterone that you make after ovulation is a diuretic. It helps with water retention.
Really?
Progestin doesn't do that, which is why, you know, the research says if you gain weight on birth control, it's likely water weight. Well, that's because progestin isn't helping you remove the water in the same way. And certain women are impacted by that more.
Wow. Well, you know, today we're talking about your book, Beyond the Pill, and we're focusing on brain fog, fatigue, and mood. So let's move over to that. So what are the is the connection with, you know, being beyond the pill, being on the pill and causing fatigue or brain fog?
Yeah, well, as I was talking before, you know, being on hormonal birth control can change your nutrient status. It can change how you're utilizing your thyroid and cortisol. And then not to mention, you are on synthetic hormones.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to the brain is rich in receptors for estrogen and progesterone and testosterone. So all of your sex hormones. And when you're on hormonal birth control, although doctors will sometimes say, oh, it's the exact same stuff you make, it's not. Progestin is made in a lab by a chemist. Progesterone is made in your body. And so with that in mind, you know, we look at the research we understand for how does estrogen and progesterone interact with the brain? Well, it helps with neuroplasticity, your ability to learn new things. It's also involved in creating the myelin sheath, which is what protects your nerves and helps you have good nerve conduction. So just, you know, that's all going on right now. Even as you're listening to me, mm-hmm. you are processing things in your nervous system. And so what we don't understand is what are the long-term effects of hormonal birth control on the female brain? We've actually never had that study done, and we haven't answered that question.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll often hear, you know, doctors and other experts say, well, there's never been a study to show there's a problem, so there's not a problem. No, that's really not how that works. If there's never been a study, the answer is we just don't know.
Yeah. Well, there's so much to consider here. And women, their hormones are just so complex. They really are. And, you know, now that you've got women that, like, go for testosterone therapy or bioidentical hormones or hormone replacement therapy, all of them. So what can they cause some of the same issues? And what do you think about bioidentical hormones in particular?
So bioidentical hormones are different than the hormones in the contraceptives that we're talking about. And bioidentical hormones are made to support your body's needs in protecting your brain, your bones, and of course, alleviating symptoms. Like, nobody wants to have hot flashes, night sweats, vaginal dryness, all those kinds of things. But the dose you use in bioidentical hormones to get symptom relief and to have protection is not very high. We're not talking about using hormones, so many, to shut down brain ovarian communication. Mm-hmm. And so we have to understand that difference. Contraceptives are made to shut down your reproductive system by flooding them with hormones, whereas bioidenticals are made to just support your body. And, you know, whether bioidenticals are good for you or not is an individual's conversation. Like, you have to have that individualized conversation with your doctor, because with all hormones and all hormone replacements, there are risks associated with that.
Mm-hmm.
How big of a risk is it for you? That's what your doctor can help you navigate by understanding your personal history, your genetics, your family history, and, you know, if there is anything in your environment that might be influencing your health.
Well, yeah, and my next question, do the mood symptoms or energy issues go away when a woman simply stops birth control?
They can. It just depends on what it's rooted in. So if you are, let's say that you are having mood symptoms and energy issues because of inflammation and nutrient deficiencies. Well, if you have a hormonal birth control, as I talk about in Beyond the Pill, and you begin eating a more nutrient-dense diet, you're going to see over time that your energy levels do start to come back,
mm-hmm.
and your mood does start to improve because
yeah.
you replenish those nutrient stores. Now, if there's inflammation present, we may need to take extra steps. So maybe bringing on a turmeric supplement or omega-3 fatty acids so that we can help the body in lowering that inflammation as well. So it just really depends on what's going on. And in my book, I give a 30-day protocol along with quizzes to help guide you to understand what's working for you, what's not working for you. And I also include information about how to talk to your doctor and advocate for lab testing so you can get to the root of what's going on.
Mm-hmm. You know, we had Catherine Lawrence on the show last week, and she is a nutritionist and the owner of a local business here called Food Save Me. It's in Southlake, Texas. But in 2006, she was diagnosed with infertility and a serious reproductive issues. And she was told there was nothing she could do but to have a hysterectomy to prevent endometrial cancer. And so anyway, she became friends with Dr. Neil Barnard, who was also on the show with us that day. And she completely changed her life with her diet by getting on a very, very clean plant-based diet. And all of her issues disappeared. And it started as soon as 6 weeks, the change began.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, a big reason, I think sometimes people are like, one, I wanted to say, I love that and love that she's sharing her story. But, you know, sometimes doctors will tell us, like, diet has no effect. Now, what's unique about me is I studied nutrition before I ever went to naturopathic medical school. Most physicians don't study nutrition. In
mm-hmm.
fact, they might get around 20 hours of nutrition education. And a lot of times, you know, that's just based on what does a major deficiency look like? So scurvy or rickets or like these
right.
diseases that we don't see anymore. And so from their perspective, you know, they're not educated in nutrition, so they won't leverage that tool. Or they may even tell women that diet won't do anything. And this is where I explain to women that well, they are an expert in their medical arena. They are not giving you an expert opinion about nutrition because they have no expertise in it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make them a bad doctor, but they just don't know what they don't know.
Right. Well, and so what can women do, women out there listening, to increase their energy, banish the brain fog, and take charge of their mood?
Well, number one is you have to sleep, and you not just like get in bed for 8 hours, but you have to get really good sleep.
Oh,
so
gosh, yeah.
When we are in, I know, right?
Yeah.
But when you're in that deep sleep and when we're really getting that nourishing rest, our brain is actually being cleaned. Like we are self-cleaning that brain and helping clear proteins that could lead to brain fog. And that's also going to impact our energy. And this might seem like something where people are like, well, yeah, of course, I get in bed at 10. I don't get out of bed till 7. But are you waking feeling rested? Do you have difficulty falling asleep? Are you night waking? All of these things impact the quality of sleep. And that's really what we need to be getting. So we want to be eating a nutrient-dense diet, looking at having the foundation being plants. So 6 to 9 servings of vegetables per day. If you're someone who doesn't eat vegetables, start with 1 serving a day for a week and then increase to another serving the next week. And, you know, gradually, you don't have to change everything overnight, so to speak, but making sure that you're getting high quality protein, high quality fats, and lots of plants in your diet so that you're giving your body the nutrients it needs to really get your energy up and to support brain health. And then, of course, you know, if you are struggling, you need to meet with a doctor, get appropriate lab testing. You know, if you have an autoimmune condition driving your thyroid condition, you may not be able to just out-diet your way out of that. Like, you may need a medication or additional support in order to optimize your health.
Well, let's can we talk for just a second? This is my last question because we're going to go to break here in a second. But I'm looking at your book, Beyond the Pill, a 30-day program to balance your hormones, reclaim your body, and reverse the dangerous side effects of birth control. And in it, you address alcohol and estrogen dominance. Can we talk about that for just a minute?
Oh, yeah. This is like, you know, I just told you to go to bed and now I'm going to tell you not to drink.
Yeah.
No, I'm no one's friend now, right? So, yeah, what we understand when it comes to alcohol intake, there have been studies to show that in some women it can increase estrogen by more than 10%. And it also will impact liver detoxification. So your liver is detoxifying. It's doing this every single day on its own, but it has to detox the things that come in. And alcohol is one of those that can impact your liver and then by way impact your hormones. So I'm not finger wagging at you. You know, if you go to a party, you want to have a drink, you know, anything like that, that's not the end of the world, but you need to be informed in the decisions that you're making.
Yeah.
And what can often happen with women, especially, you know, given that a lot of women feel dismissed and unheard by their doctor. So they're going to their doctor for anxiety, for example, and their doctor is telling them, well, you just need to take anxiety meds. And maybe they feel awful on them. They don't want to take them. And then they're falling back on drinking a bottle of wine a night to help cut their anxiety down and go to sleep. And really that starts to work against them. That can make anxiety worse over time. It can make sleep worse. And so that's what we have to look at as well, is that, you know, sometimes people are opting to use alcohol as a tool because something more is going on in their body and they're not getting the help they need from their doctor.
And I feel that that's just another reason that marijuana should be legal in this country, so that you have a choice. I mean, it's just ridiculous that it's not. The reason I bring it up, Dr. Brighton, the first annual hemp convention is here in Texas. It's in Dallas for the next couple of days. And it just seems so counterintuitive to me that alcohol is legal. Cigarettes are legal. Cigars are legal. And yet marijuana is not.
Yeah, it's very interesting, especially when you look at the CBD, the cannabinoid research. Yep. And, you know, when you talk about hemp, for people to understand that hemp, they derive CBD from, that's not psychoactive.
Right.
So sometimes people, I'll hear from people and they're against cannabis because of THC. And I hear that. We don't want people self-medicating themselves. And yet we do need to do more research into CBD, which doesn't have the psychoactive properties. Nobody's getting high when they use CBD. But it does work well, you know, as the research is starting to show us, for inflammation, for anxiety, for sleep, for certain mood symptoms as well. So it's something that I'm with you. We need to open up so that we can do more research and understand, you know, just like we use, you know, berberine medicinally or echinacea medicinally.
They all come from Mother Nature.
Yeah. This is another herb that we may have medicinal applications, but it comes with. I'm with you. It's a weird stigma where people stigmatize cannabis, and yet alcohol is totally socially accepted. And you know, they all have their downfalls.
It's kind of crazy.
To be using them wisely, right?
Well, yeah, and THC has a tremendous amount of benefits, but we're here in Texas, so you know.
For another day.
Well, you know, what's interesting to me is that THC is actually an antiprokinetic. So for people who have IBS and diarrhea, and even some IBD patients, so inflammatory bowel disease, who are having, you know, 12 to 30 bowel movements a day and, you know, being depleted in electrolytes, THC can actually slow down the gut's motility and help in those situations. So
add it to the list.
yeah, when people want to vilify these things, I'm like, well, look, there's two sides to every coin,
right,
and we need to be exploring both.
Well, yeah, and then we've got SSRIs on the market that can make you so crazy that you commit homicide, and that's okay. Don't get me started, Dr. Brighton. We'll be on here for hours, but it's always great to have you on the show. Thank you so much, and have a great day. We really appreciate your content.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You can find Dr. Brighton at drbrighton.com, and that's B-R-I-G-H-T-E-N. Her book, Beyond the Pill, is amazing. You can get it on Amazon. We'll be right back. That's how long I've been on ya. I love it. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Aviana Barrientos and Mo Brossette. I want to let you know that you can go to our website, oneliferadio.com, to download and listen to our podcast or subscribe to our newsletter. You can also listen to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. Or you can go straight to iHeartMedia.com to listen live or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. A big shout out to our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior. You can get it at Vitamin Shop or put it in your smoothie at Smoothie King. Sun Warrior is a premium, all-natural, raw superfood company dedicated to providing the best vegan plant-based protein powders and supplements. Go to sunwarrior.com to learn more about all of their products and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. So, and OLR is for One Life Radio. It's an acronym.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. And Vibromedica, which you know very well.
Yes.
They actually sponsor your podcast.
Absolutely.
As well.
Yeah, they're a brand new sponsor.
They're wonderful. Vibromedica, okay, they were on the other day. Jared Ramirez, the CEO and founder. It was founded to combat the negative impacts of our modern world with a mission to further the principles of evolutionary medicine as a new paradigm to healing. Their products really do reflect symbiotic combinations that occur in nature, utilizing only the purest ingredients from around the world. Enviromedica delivers superior formulations of the highest quality to help reconnect and align the body with its genetic legacy. Learn more about Enviromedica at enviromedica.com. And Wild Foods was founded... Another great company that is a new sponsor of ours, Wild Foods, was founded out of an obsession with finding the best ingredients in the world to support health and longevity. Their wild mission is to empower 50 million people with the knowledge that they can say no to big food, big pharma, bad science, and dangerous health and nutritional dogma. Check them out at wildfoods.co. And we've got a good announcement here to make that Paleo FX is a sponsor as well. And we'll all be there. You're going to be there. There's going to be, you know, when you made a great point about Paleo FX earlier in the show, share it with our listeners, if you would.
So a few years ago, I was at the conference, and Michelle Norris, the founder of Paleo FX, with her and her husband, Keith, they were on a panel, and this lady stood up for questions and said, hey, listen, I have a friend that wanted to come, but she doesn't think that she is healthy enough to be around these people. And that just lit a fire under Michelle and for me as well as someone in the health profession.
Yeah.
And she wanted to make sure that everyone knew and it was abundantly clear that Paleo FX is not just for people that are on a ketogenic diet or a paleo diet.
Right.
It is a health conference.
It is.
There are doctors, there are scientists, there are meditation teachers. They're talking about health and holistic lifestyles. So regardless of if you're plant-based or if you're full-on keto or if you're carnivore, you will get something out of this conference. And I'm not sponsored by them. I'm not paid by them. I love that group of people because they teach you how to be healthy.
Yeah, it's a great organization to be connected to. And we're going to be there on a stage. The one that's up, I guess it's the one that's up. Where is it, Aviana? You know?
Mm.
Lexi was telling me. She remembers it from last year. But
yeah, it was behind like those curtains. You know?
Yeah, kind of. I like that. I'm like a little bird up in a nest.
There's like a ladder that you have to climb up to get to it.
Yeah, that's what we're going to be. And we're going to be interviewing people. And just, you know, it's just a great conference to be at because everyone there is so wonderful and health-minded. And like you said, you don't have to be on any particular diet and you don't even have to be fit.
No.
Because everybody's, you know, I've been fit, unfit. We all have, you know.
Right.
We go through differences in life, different periods of our life where we're not in the best shape.
Absolutely. And it has nothing to do with fitness. It has nothing to do with your physical fitness. It has to do with if you want to be healthy, if you want to learn how to be healthy in all aspects of health, then come to this conference.
And take action.
Absolutely. Take action. Exactly what we're talking about.
That's what we're talking about. So Mo Brossat, he's wonderful. He has been in the health and fitness industry for over 24 years, and he is currently the director of mindset and nutrition at the Adaptive Training Foundation. The Adaptive Training Foundation is a Dallas-based nonprofit that leads disabled military veterans and civilians through a 9-week mental and physical training program called Redefine. And through his unique program, Mo helps these adaptive athletes overcome physical, emotional, and mental pain, fear, and self-doubt. He is a corporate speaker on fair and a fear. Fear and human potential, where he teaches companies and individuals how to achieve professional and personal goals, overcome limiting beliefs, and use fear as your greatest tool for success. You can find him at his website, brossatperformance.com. That's brossatperformance.com, or on Instagram at brossatperformancecoaching. So, you know, today we're talking about action over intention. So why do you think so many people put emphasis on intention instead of action?
I think that first it's because people get overwhelmed and they think that if they can't do all the things to advance towards their goal, then they're not going to start. You know, we have the excuse of I'm too busy.
Yeah.
Well, that's the reason you need to do this.
Right.
You can find time to do it. And it's about taking small little steps. And, you know, because so many people, you know, they create a vision board. They do daily visualizations. They do daily intention setting. Uh-huh. And intentions are great. Vision boards are great. Praying is awesome. But if you don't put action behind that, you're not going, you can't just go, hey, I really want to be successful and have a new career in public speaking and then go hang out at the coffee shop.
Right.
Right. You got to do
unless
something about it.
Unless you're speaking at the coffee shop.
Right. Unless you're talking at the coffee shop. But you have to go, you have to put your plan into action and you have to be ready for it to be challenging.
Well, so what role does action play and go? Well, you know what? I hear the music. We're going to go to break, I guess.
Oh, let's go.
We'll go to break.
Yeah.
And then we'll come back and we're going to talk about this because it's a great topic. It really is because nothing gets done unless you take action.
Bingo.
Yeah. We'll be right back. You're listening to One Life Radio and Mo Brossat. I swear I'll behave. You wanted control. Loving the music today. I am. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This
is. Oh, I do like this song.
Yeah, we got Alicia, and they're running it. She's from 106.1. She knows she's got it down.
Go.
There you go.
Good job, Alicia.
Oh my gosh, I love her hair. I love her hair.
Her hair?
I'm saying that live on the air. Yeah, she's got really cool hair. Stevie Nicks. She's got very Stevie Nicks hair.
Oh my gosh, she's my idol. Thank you.
Really? You know, people tell me, you know what's funny? So you'll love this, Alicia. So I was out buying another dress that I probably didn't need. And it's very Stevie Nicks dress. And someone said, you remind me of Stevie Nicks. And I said, you know how many times I've heard that? I've heard that my whole life, basically. And I said, thank you. But then it inspired me to go home and I listened to Fleetwood Mac and sang and dance and, you know, just
got after it.
Just got after it for hours. I must have listened to like 3 albums. It was so much fun. But anyway, it's great to have Alicia on the controls with Christina today. And it's great to have you in studio, Mo Brossat and Aviana Barrientos. We're talking about action over intention. So what role does action play in goals? And why can't you just visualize or pray and expect goals to happen?
Action is everything. You can't, again, what I said before we went to break, you can't just put it out there. And in like intention setting is awesome, but when you don't put any sort of action behind that, and because I know people that do that, like, well, I just put it in the Lord's hands. That's great, but you still have to put action behind that. Or I put this out in the universe. Cool. What are you doing to make this happen? You can't just wait. And unfortunately, a lot of people do that. So you have to think of what's the first thing that you can do in this part. In this step to get you to your goal. Again, you don't have to have the answer, but what's the first step? Maybe today you make connections. Maybe today you send 10 emails out to contacts. You know, I don't know if you guys know who Gary Vee is. So Gary Vee had a great post a few weeks ago, and it said, and the post was, how can you give up? And he's talking about direct messaging. He said, how can you give up after 50 DMs when this is your passion? right?
Like right.
You, and that's the action that I'm talking about. So when you put your intention into action, expect it to be challenging. Expect a bit of resistance. But that's when you know that you really need to dig in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to come overnight. Yes, no. People do have success overnight, but that is very rare.
It is rare. It's very rare. Gosh, I could talk about that forever. I
yeah,
could. I mean, I've
me
got
too.
So many circumstances or so many stories in my life where you just persevere. You persevere.
Oh, man.
No matter what comes at you.
Yeah.
I think of the early days of being in the restaurant business, and I was robbed at gunpoint multiple times.
Yeah.
Had the bejesus scared out of me, but I still got up.
Right.
And it actually made me take even more action. Like, I am not going to let one stupid, you know what, bring me down.
Right.
Yeah. And
right.
You have to feel that way about yourself in life.
But when we get told no, when we get told, well, maybe not now, we tend to fall back into that, well, maybe this isn't for me. No, that this is for you. You just need to keep going, and you need to find maybe a new way of communicating it. Remember, no is just an opportunity for you to learn mm-hmm. a different way to approach that
yeah.
individual or that topic.
Are there personality types that are more prone or have a more difficult time, you know, just getting up and taking action every day?
Absolutely. It also comes back to inflammation, what we were talking about earlier. When you're inflamed and you're stressed out, it doesn't matter who you are. You can be the most
yep.
extroverted individual, but
mm-hmm.
when your body is inflamed and you're not getting quality sleep,
yep.
then you're going to have resistance to getting up and getting after it. I do that sometimes.
Yeah.
And I do a self-check. I'm like, why do I feel this way today? I just don't feel like doing anything.
Yeah. No, I had it happen this weekend. I drank too much tequila. I'll be the first one to admit it. I started on Friday and I didn't end till Sunday. And it wasn't like I drank a whole bottle or anything, but I typically don't even drink, you know, hard liquor.
Right.
And then I was just on this roll and I felt like, oh my gosh, I felt terrible Sunday and Monday
right.
trying to get it out of my system, get the inflammation out, get my brain straight again, get my energy level up, get a few good meals down in me. And I was like, I'm never doing that again.
Yeah.
That was dumb.
Yeah. But listen, if you are that person, it's a challenge for you to get out and get
yeah.
it done and talk to other people. Then what can you do? We've talked about this many times already. Like, you can send emails. You can send direct messages. You can do other things. You can write content. So think about that one thing that you can do every day
mm-hmm.
and do that thing. And then once that's done, do the next thing.
Yeah.
And it's just like writing a book, right? Like,
yeah.
We think that
you're writing a book.
I'm writing a book. It's complete almost.
Ooh.
Right? I'm excited about it.
Does it have a name yet?
It's called Fearful with two L's.
Didn't you have another name for it earlier?
Of course he did. That's
called,
what did you initially say?
It's The Field Guide to Fear, because you end up writing the rest of your book.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
You write
your story and you write your solutions instead of me telling you.
I could have sworn there was another name, though.
Maybe. We'll see.
Yeah. I think there was.
I'll think about it.
But what was I talking about?
I don't know.
But anyway.
about pursuing your dreams and getting after
yeah.
it. So I had asked because I knew you were writing a book. So
oh yeah. So the thing about the book is, if you write a sentence, if you write a paragraph a day, in 365 days you've written a book. So you don't have to do this. You don't have to have this.
That's
massive,
a great. I didn't even think about it like
yeah,
that. Like a sentence a day.
If you write a sentence or two, if you can write 300 words a day, you will have a book by the end of the year.
Yeah.
So again, taking action is something,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's just so. I use that example because, I've seen so many people and I've worked with so many people that when they don't see, all they see is the end goal.
Yeah.
They forget about the entire journey to get to that goal and the steps it takes. Proper nutrition, proper sleep, proper planning, proper communication, meeting the right people, making connections,
right.
getting told no. It's all those things that we have to learn along the way, and that is the action behind the intention.
Well, what do you do when you feel like you want to give up?
You do a self-check, like what you just said. Like, if you wake up on Monday, you're like, man, I don't feel like this anymore. That one day of depression, that one day of
yeah.
feeling bad can be just like when people, quote, fall off the wagon
yeah.
with their diet.
Yeah.
And they go, well, I guess this isn't for me.
Well,
or they
I ate pretty clean.
No.
But,
yeah.
you know, it started with Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah. There you go. But you have to keep going. You have to do the next best thing. Make yourself do one thing every day.
Yeah.
And if you do thing every day, I mean, that's one thing that you did over nothing.
Yeah.
So that is action. You can't just put it out there.
Yeah. So you have to. Yeah, it is true. And sometimes I'm thinking of like something as simple as exercise. Sometimes you are going to have a couple of days or even a couple of weeks, but you
yeah.
have to keep yourself in check.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, it's always good to have you in studio, Mobrosat.
Thank you.
And what are you doing this afternoon?
This afternoon, what am I doing? Oh, I'm actually going up north to do a photo shoot for a light. I'm going to do some outdoor bouldering.
Cool.
So maybe I'm going to have this versatile headlamp, and I'll be rock climbing.
Nice. Yeah. What fun.
Right?
What fun that is. I love it. I'm glad I asked. Everyone, you know what? We love doing this show. Thank you so much for listening. You know, you get one body. I feel like I'm Charlie right now. You know, you get one body. You get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and be contagiously positive.